passage that we'll consider this morning comes from the 27th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose love for us we once again see flowing during this Lenten season, dear friends in Christ, one of the most famous portrayals of human guilt ever presented in literature is the play Macbeth by William Shakespeare. In the story, Lady Macbeth is guilty with her husband of murdering their king, Duncan. At first, it seems they've gotten away cleanly with the murder. But as we were reminded by Professor Pfeiffer last Thursday, nobody really gets away with anything. Lady Macbeth's conscience soon begins to terrify her. She constantly imagines that she sees blood on her hands. She washes her hands over and over again, but the imagined bloodstains remain to haunt her. To this day, the guilt of sin remains one of the most perplexing and soul-destroying problems of the human mind. How ironic and how wonderful that the solution our God gives us for this problem is blood, but not ordinary blood. The blood that cures us from the sickness of sin is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we consider the spiritually ambiguous statement, "His blood be on us." For the Jews, those words were a terrible curse. But for us, the same words can be a wonderful blessing. The trial of Jesus was over at this point. Pontius Pilate, frantic to sidestep the responsibility for what was obviously a gross miscarriage of justice, called for a basin of water and washed his hands before the multitude. "I am innocent of the blood of this just person," he said. "You see to it." Pilate was very touchy about who was going to bear the responsibility for Jesus' murder. But the Jews weren't touchy about it, just the opposite. In their lust to see Jesus crucified, they quickly accepted the responsibility. With a glib and eager tongue, they pronounced the words of a terrible self-curse. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And then, of course, they laid the cross on Jesus and led him down the road of sorrows to Calvary. In the madness and shuffle of that awful day, those words, no doubt, were quickly forgotten by the people who said them. But God didn't forget them. 40 years later, that curse, spoken so easily, forgotten so quickly, came home to the people and to their children. In the year 70 AD, the Roman legions leveled the city of Jerusalem to the ground, killing thousands of Jews in the process. One historian said that on that day, blood ran in rivers in the streets. The curse of Jesus' blood that they had so willingly called down upon themselves came back upon them, and it paid very grim dividends indeed. His blood be upon us. For the Jews, those words were a terrible curse, since they insisted on bearing the responsibility for Jesus' death. You and I, of course, share that responsibility, don't we? For it was our sins, too, that drove Christ to the cross. It was our guilt, too, that rested on Jesus that terrible day. Isaiah lays the responsibility for Jesus' death squarely at our doorstep when he says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." His blood be on us. You and I share the responsibility of those words, but we need not share the curse. For you and me today, the Lord can turn those words into a wonderful blessing. There's an interesting chemical compound known as nitromuriatic acid. It's actually a mixture of nitric acid and hydrochloric acid. And this chemical compound is better known as aqua regia, or royal water. It got that name because it has the ability to do what almost no other chemical can do. It can dissolve gold. In a similar way, Jesus' blood is a very special liquid too. It has the unique ability to accomplish something that no human efforts, no good works could possibly accomplish. The blood of Jesus can dissolve sin. No matter how many sins you've been guilty of, no matter how often you've repeated them, no matter how deep their stain, Jesus' blood works to dissolve your sin. One of the best loved and most often memorized passages in Scripture comes from the first epistle of St. John. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This truly is the aqua regia of our souls. The blood that streamed from Jesus' wounded back. The blood that seeped from beneath the crown of thorns. The blood that flowed from the wounds in his hands and his feet. This is what dissolves our sin. The bloody spectacle of Jesus on the cross is indeed a gruesome sight, but it's a sight that inspires wonder and awe as well, because there, in the flowing blood of our Savior, you and I see our salvation. And that's what makes the words of our text such a paradox. For shouldn't you and I also say, "His blood be on us and on our children"? Yes, as sinners coming to our Savior for cleansing, that sentence can be spoken as a petition, as a deep desire, as an expression of our fondest wish. Every day we can, in repentance, come to our Lord Jesus and ask Him to cover our sins with His blood, our weaknesses, our failures, our transgressions. And as often as we ask, Jesus will grant us His pardon. "For the one who comes to me," he said, "I will by no means cast out." Yes, indeed, we want Jesus' blood to be upon us and upon our family members and our loved ones. It is our most fervent desire. It is the one possession in the world that makes every other possession unimportant. The one blessing that brings with it every other blessing. When we sinners cry out in desperation with the jailer at Philippi, "What must I do to be saved?" the gospel is there with the universal answer of the blood of Jesus. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household." The Israelites, when they were leaving the land of Egypt, had their doorposts painted with the blood of the Lamb, and so they were spared that terrible destruction brought by the angel of death. The blood of the Lamb was on them, and it saved them. How much more shall you and I, who are washed with the blood of the Lamb of God, that precious royal water, be rescued from eternal destruction? Yes, please God, let His blood be upon us and upon our children. Let its cleansing and atoning power cover us and our loved ones in the grace and mercy of the Lord. That blood is the aqua regia of our souls. Surely we will be praising the cleansing power of that blood through endless ages in heaven. Amen. We'll conclude with the first three stanzas of hymn 157.